Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this Sabbath day you've given us. Thank you that we're slowly having more people be able to come to church, Lord. It's really great to have that community, Lord, and not just online, but here present in person. Lord, I just want to ask you to be with the speaker today, Lord. Please help us open our hearts, Lord, to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, ladies. What a pleasure. Pleasure is doubled even, because this is the time that, firstly, I was not expected to preach today. Secondly, that I have somebody living sitting in front of me. So I'm not just saying to the world, to the air, but you know, even to the air. Welcome to those who are watching us, and welcome to those who didn't plan to watch. But anyhow, that's something great to be with you now. And you will just concentrate for a moment, because I would like to share something what is very important for me. And before we'll start, so let us just bow our heads once again and invite the Lord. Dear Lord, in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, I'm just coming to you and praying that you will bless in a special way those moments. We want to concentrate our thoughts on your word, on something what is important today. And that's the reason I pray that you will be with us now in a special way, and especially give me the thoughts and the words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is only one passage that I want to share with you today, and that's something very important. But before I will come to the passage, I would like to tell you the story, the real story that I found. It is the story of the paper Los Angeles Herald Examiner. It was last century, as you know, suddenly the problem appeared. There was a very popular, I just put my some information. There was a daily paper, 757,000 daily, so many copies sold. On Sundays, over 1 million copies sold. 2,000 workers. And suddenly, it was in 1967, because of some problems, they got on strike. They were on strike. There was not a normal strike. Very seldom it happens that we hear about such a long strike. It lasts for 10 years. And after 10 years, there was the man named Frank Dale who was asked to reorganize the whole work of the paper. As he started, he couldn't come to the work through normal door because they were still locked. They were still completely closed. So the first words, as he gathered the people of the leadership, and he said, I want to tell you, let us do the first thing. Let's open the front door. And I have to tell you that it inspired me one day. It was quite a long time. Suddenly I got the thought that probably a lot of us have the front door closed. Door of failure. Door of many unsuccessful decisions, maybe many things. So what to do with this? And at the same time, it came to my mind what I found in the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter and there from 19th verse. Let me read those. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's something unusual. You have also the closed door, the locked door. No one is able to come. And suddenly Jesus appears. And I would like to suggest to you that he brought three keys to them to open the front door. What are the keys? Well, maybe firstly I should just help you to think for a moment. Just try to imagine that you are walking along the street, and suddenly in some houses you see the doors are opened a little bit. What do you think that time? I tell you what I would think, what is behind. I'm so suspicious and at the same time so curious that I want to come there and see, you know, what is there. If the door is partly opened, I'm just wondering, what is there? That's what happens in our life also. And that's what we have to decide. Jesus wants to open the door. They are closed. Ah, it just came to my mind now. The funny story, there was Billy Graham, the great evangelist. He passed away quite not so long ago. Billy Graham has written in one of the books something very interesting. He said that as he was living in Northern Carolina and in the little town Charlotte, he was living very close to the house of the owner of the shop with alcoholic beverages. So one night, as everyone was falling asleep, he was also ready to sleep, this owner of the shop, when suddenly the telephone rang. So he came, he took the receiver, and there was the voice of one man. He said, "Well, are you the owner of the shop?" And he said, "Yes." "Well, I have a quick question. When do you open in the morning?" The kind answer was, "I open at 9 o'clock and you can be invited. Come." Well, nothing would be strange with this if not the fact that about 1 hour later the telephone rang, and again he had to wake up from his bed and took the receiver, and as he answered the phone, suddenly the man said, as Billy Graham is reporting this event, "So who is speaking?" The same voice, but a little more drunk, said, "Well, are you the owner of the shop?" And said, "Yes, I am. What do you want?" "Well, I want to ask you when you open the shop tomorrow." He said, "I open at 9 o'clock, and he put the receiver. And nothing would be strange with this, if not the fact that an hour later, the same voice came again, and the telephone rang. So the owner came there, took the receiver, and not waiting for anything, he said, "I told you already that I open at 9, but if you want to come in, so come at 8 and I will open for you." And the man said, "But I don't want to come in, I want to go out." That's quite funny, because sometimes we are not going out because we lock the door. So Jesus is appearing suddenly in front and he brings the first key. The first key is that he came to them and said, "Peace be with you." That's the key of a new peace in our life. Do we need it? What's special with this peace that he's bringing? Well, you know, "peace be with you" in Hebrew language would be exactly the same what this shalom, as we say, Americans will say hi, or you know, here we'll in Australia say good day, and you know, that's the way of greeting. But Jesus just said those words in the beginning, and then what I read, he showed them his hands and his side. This is something interesting. And right after, he said once again, "Peace to you." What Jesus was doing? Bringing this key to the doors, he said, "Peace be with you," because this peace cost me my life. I went to Calvary to die for you. I went there, and it's so important that you realize that the peace I'm bringing into your life is a different peace. That's the most expensive peace. But I did it for you, just to make you free, just to help you to understand that this peace is done, is sure, and you can live completely in a new way. Yes, dear friends, I tell you, I realize that sometimes we made so many mistakes, we took different and strange decisions, and we failed. But any failure you had, Jesus is bringing today also the peace. But that was only the first step. But notice, please, that Jesus is saying something more. You know, saying about the peace, I should mention that the Apostle Peter in First Epistle, he has mentioned something very important, that his blood was shed for every one of us. That is something. You know, Jewish people had this temple, had the sanctuary, and they used to go there and they realized that, that's so important what is there, because everything in a sanctuary was pointing to Jesus. Do you realize it? I think that not so often we are talking about it, but I could make the whole lecture on this, what it meant. You know, those days as you were coming in the beginning, as he wanted to prepare the tabernacle for him, there was the veil, and through the veil, Apostle Paul has written that it's also pointing to Jesus. Then you have the lamb, the sacrifice. There was pointing to Jesus. Then you have the altar. It was pointing to Jesus. Then you have the basin with the water for purifying themselves, and that was also pointing for Jesus. Then you came into the holy place, and everything was pointing to Jesus. There was the showbread pointing to Jesus. And there was the candlestick pointing to Jesus, who is the light, who is the bread of life. And there was, you know, the altar of essence, and you know, everything was there pointing to Jesus as his righteousness, and also in the most holy place. All the temple was telling about this peace was guaranteed by him. But then he brought the second key. And the second key, Jesus saying the second time, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Just think for a moment about it. Why Jesus was sent to this earth? Was he sent just to condemn this earth, condemn the people? No. Was he sent just to criticize them and point out all their sins they did? No. He was sent to save people. And Jesus is saying, as Father sent me, I also sent you. So the reason for being sent for us is very simple, to save people. Of course we are not the saviors, but we can point them to him. We can lead them to him. We can help them to grow. That's the second key, so important. That's a key of the real purpose in our life. And that's what I love it so much, because it gives sense for every one of us. It helps a lot. We have the reason to be here. And the reason is very simple, just to go to other people and to show them Jesus. Jesus we know, Jesus we trust, Jesus we follow, Jesus who is the best friend for us, and that's the reason we should do it. But there is the third key, and it's extremely important. He just wanted to bring the key not only of peace, not only of the purpose of life, but he just wanted to give us peace. He gave us the key just to have the power to do the work he expects from us. I read here that he said to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. How important it is in our lives to receive this power. In other words, Jesus said, I want you to be like me. Well, how does it sound for you? To be like Jesus? Every one of us? Can we? Impossible, we'll say. But who was Jesus surrounded that moment? There was Peter, who forgot about the Lord. And for three times he said, no, I don't know this man. There was Thomas, who was doubting in everything. And he said, I will not believe that he is resurrected unless I will put my hand into his wounds. There was James and John, those who only thought about one thing, the places in the kingdom of Christ, they will sit on the right and on the left. There were some ladies, and women didn't count too much those days. There was not the thinking as we are thinking now about ladies. No, not those days. And they should be like Jesus? Yes, it is possible. Yes, it could be true just because of one thing, of the power he's giving us, power of the Holy Spirit. We desperately need such power. We desperately need to have this assurance that you know, he's equipping us with everything what is needed. He's helping us to understand what we should understand. Three keys to open the front door. Shall we? Maybe we have the broken relationships with other people. Jesus said there's a purpose to repair everything. Maybe we have the problem even in believing that everything what he promised is true. He says, I give you the power of the Holy Spirit and you can change everything in this world. I want to share with you now the story of Karl Wallander. I don't know if you know this name, but he was tightrope walker. And he was very famous in the last years, well, in the second half of the year. He was walking, you know, in the very dangerous places, sometimes, you know, on a very high level, and he was walking, for instance, over the Niagara Falls and in many other places. Karl Wallander always managed to walk through. It doesn't matter how long was the rope, but he was walking on this. It happened in 1978. Karl Wallander promised that he's going to San Juan in Puerto Rico and he's going to walk between two towers of hotel, of Plaza Hotel there. The rope was prepared, the television crews came and the journalists and the radios and everyone was watching. Karl Wallander at that time was already 73. He started to walk. And due to the very strong wind, he fell down and died. After this event, everyone came to the wife of Karl Wallander and said, how is it possible? What's happened? Why he died? And there was a very interesting sentence, the answer she gave. She said, for so many years, being the wife of him, I noticed how he was preparing himself. He was always prepared to go through to the goal. For the first time in his life, he was prepared not to fall. And he died. As I read it, I came to the conclusion that that's something what we should remember and we should keep in our minds. We are also going, and sometimes as Christians, we are doing everything and preparing not to fall. But that's not our duty. Our duty is to reach the goal. And the goal is simple, to receive the peace from Jesus as one key to open the front door. To receive the second key that is the purpose of our life. As Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And to receive also the power that is needed for this. Receive the Holy Spirit. I try to imagine this moment. He breathes on them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is always connected with the breathing. As God created the man, he breathed in his nostrils and the man started to living being. That's what happens with us and that's what we need. Yes, dear friends, probably you never heard such a short sermon. But it's important. I would like you just to remember those three keys and use them and open the front door. For Jesus wants us to go out. You know, there is one beautiful verse also in the Gospel of John, in the 10th chapter, and probably if I remember it well, it will be verse 9. Let me just open it and read for you. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Yes, I thought What a suggestion. If the pastures and just those beautiful place behind the door is connected with my salvation, so as I go through Jesus, I want to stay there. But he says, no, I'm the door to be opened, because you have to go find somebody and come back with somebody and go again and come back. That's our task. Difficult times? Not so difficult. Everything is possible for us. If you studied the Sabbath school lesson this week, you could find that there was something fantastic what was said by Moses to all Israel. You are able to do. You can do. Let's open the front door. Let us pray. Dear Lord, just a few thoughts about something what is so important we find in the Gospel of John. I want to thank you that you just point our attention in your words into something what is so important, that the door should be opened. Maybe for those who don't know you and we can invite them. Maybe for us to repair everything what we made wrong up till now. The door should be opened, doors of our hearts, of our minds. And thank you, Lord, that you brought us those three keys. So important. The first key, the key of the peace. The second of the purpose. And the third of your power. We praise you, Lord, for this. And we praise you that you are so close to our hearts and touching our hearts through Holy Spirit. You can change us into the real happy people going forward to others to share with them the truth we know. We praise you, Lord, and are so grateful. May be the glory for you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.